We're back. Golf show. A couple of golf guys, Brent Gunning and Sam McKee. Oh, it's Masters week. It's finally here. Sammy, how you feeling on a Masters Monday?
Gunner, I got to tell you, buddy, I'm feeling spectacularly well. I'm really looking forward to the Masters this week. That's barring getting through the solar biblical eclipse this afternoon, so making sure we get through that. But yes, I am very much looking forward to the Masters week. I got two tee times this week, one at our beloved Lakeview at 7:30 a.m. on Friday morning. I'm just a single, going out, joining up. Wondering when people ask me what I do for a living, I'll tell them I'm an accountant, and away we go. Really, really excited for this week, and golf season's arrived in Toronto. I'm seeing pictures of people playing. It's the best time of year, buddy. Best time of year for sports, so let's rock and roll.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful. I got out to the range myself a couple times this weekend. I did have to bail on one of those tee times with you. I'm gutted. I'm crushed. We were supposed to play Wednesday. Teeing it up with you right before the Masters would have been as perfect as it gets, but I'll have to live vicariously through you. Before we get into the week, we gotta shout out our boy, our newfound boy, I guess. Akshay Bhatia, incredible stuff this weekend. Incredible stuff from Denny McCartney to make him have to do incredible stuff, but we love to say it and we love it when it's true. Boy, was the golf good this weekend.
Yeah, like normally the Valero isn't the most electric tournament. It's been great because I think, has Corey won it twice or just won it once?
Yeah, I think for sure once, yes. Maybe twice though.
Anyways, Corey Connors.
He won it once as a Monday qualifier, I know that much.
That's for sure. And I think it's been enjoyable then when the Canadian wins it. But this is also always like the little bit of a, you know, the tease, like, you know, you're just like, I'll get excited for golf next weekend. And, you know, there was a lot of great sports on yesterday afternoon, like including watching the Jays, who are just so much fun to watch. Caitlin Clark was playing against South Carolina. There was some
one
hockey.
One of those things is true.
There's some hockey on. There was all this great stuff. And I just kind of kept checking in on the golf. I always check in on the golf, see what's going. Bhatia had the huge lead. It was at six strokes at one point. And every time I kept going over there, they were showing Denny McCarthy hitting yet another birdie putt. And I was like, oh, this is getting interesting. And Denny McCarthy gets it all the way to tied onto the 18th hole and makes a great 7-footer down the hill. Or was it, I think it was even longer than that, maybe a 12-footer down the hill to go ahead of Bhatia, which is insane considering where it started. Like, imagine you had an outright on Bhatia. You were counting your money. You were like, this is an early payout. I'm done. Like, I've won. And Denny McCarthy just couldn't stop hitting birdie putts. And I thought one of the most clutch putts I've seen all year is Bhatia to recover from watching Denny McCarthy, who's been killing him all day, make that putt and then him make the birdie and then dislocate his shoulder in the celebration. I thought there was an excellent, excellent moment for the PGA, and I love this Bhatia. I love his look. I love the hair. I love the glasses. I love the beard. Don't love him on the greens with the putter and how long he takes with the aim point or whatever, but I thought it was an excellent week to kind of get us going for the Masters, but I loved it.
Yeah, well, we're giving shout-outs. We'll give a shout-out to friend of the golf show, Eric Patterson of The Score. He gave out Bhatia as an outright winner at the start of the week. So, I hope you didn't just give that out. I hope you placed a couple ducats on that, EPAT. Would have paid pretty well. I'm happy you brought up his look because, like, I'm not going to pretend he's like Victor Hovland out there in pink joggers or something where it's so unique, but I don't know. Maybe it's just that he's so thin. Maybe it's the glasses. I don't know. It's just that he has this unique look that's
lefty. You know, I love
lefty.
That.
You do love that. That's all its own. I also think there's a direct correlation to the length of putter you use and how long you're standing on the green. Has a guy who uses one of those broomsticks that, by the way, I thought we got rid of those. Has he ever just gripped it and ripped it? No. Never, never, never. If you have one of those long putters, you are a long putter. And it's about the only bad thing I have to say about Bhatia today, because I loved it, but I actually, that just occurred to me, I think there is a direct correlation to length of putter and length of time you take to get over a putt and hit it.
So I thought the really cool thing about him winning too, because winning that tournament, he gets the spot into the Masters, which is just such an incredible, you know, moment for him, and what a huge moment for him in his career. But the part that he was the first guy to ever compete in the chip or the drive, chip and putt compo at Augusta, and have him be in the final of that, and then 10 years, was it 10 years later or however long later?
I think so, a little more than ten, but
to,
yeah, I think
to
yeah.
get into the Masters, winning on the same day they have the drive, chip, and putt competition. I thought that was very cool. I just think this is one of the guys that you want to root for, and his story's cool. Like he didn't even go to college. He went straight to the PGA Tour. He took a lot of flack for that, and he had a really tough time. But he's a young guy. He's got two wins already. Was he 22? Like, I really do feel like he's got a little bit of, you know, he just got a good look to him. He's not like your classic, you know, golf personality. Mm-hmm. I really do think that this guy has a chance to be a star, and I'm looking forward to watching him play at the Masters. We all know how those lefties look at Augusta. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't need to go through over the list. There was a certain Canadian that won there one time. I really like this guy, and I think he's great for the tour. And yeah, man, I don't usually get locked into the Valero Texas Open the week before the Masters, but I was locked all the way in. And quickly, before I throw to you, I know this is just a very niche thing from it, but there was one thing that maybe upset me more than anything I've watched in sports this weekend, and that's a big thing coming with the Toronto Blue Jays in town. Brendan Todd on 18.
Oh, the Iceman, Mr. Freeze.
But has you ever seen a more Bush League move than that?
That's terrible.
These two guys are grinding. How many straight birdies had he made at that point?
It finished 7 of 8 or whatever. So, yeah.
Six straight birdies McCarthy had made. You know, Bhatia is unraveling. He's panicking over on the other side of the green. And Brendan Todd has this long, drawn-out conversation with his dork caddy about, like, how are we going to hit this shot? How about you whack it up on the green, you two-putt it for par, and you get out of the way of the two guys that actually have a chance to win the golf tournament? I was appalled by that. And credit to both the guys who were completely iced out. McCarthy makes a great shot, except the one in the playoff where he did what you or I both could do. But, yeah, and then have Bhatia make that shot, too, and make the putt. Well, it was Bush League from Todd. I couldn't believe it.
Well, and it's so bad because he has such aggressive golf face. Like, we're talking about Bhatia and how he has this new look. It's like, Brendan Todd, if you would have just told me they were going to put a stock PGA Pro in to gum up the works of this cool finish, it would have looked exactly like so Brendan true. Todd. And just standing
generic
there and he's like,
man.
Generic man, gray polo, just like, what? There's not a thing interesting to be found about him gumming up the works. I couldn't believe it. We needed a shock collar on him or something, or honestly, just like somebody remind him it's an entertainment product. Yeah. It's like, hey, buddy, this isn't helping you out in the, the PIF, but it's not, the PIP. It's like, this isn't helping you out
two
in PIP.
Very
I guess
different
it is,
things.
Though.
Well, no, yeah, not very, anymore.
That's right. They're the same thing now. But maybe that was all its play. It's like, I can get all these people tweeting about how terrible I am. It's the only hope I'll have of ever having any recognition. Oh, God. Yeah. I was very, very angry by that. So, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy you brought that up. Before we get into true Masters talk in earnest, you sent me something of the holiest of things that's going to happen.
Oh, my God.
At the
right?
Masters today. I'm not like a huge eclipse guy in that I didn't realize it was such a big deal until there were signs all over the highway being like, it's going to be an eclipse, plan accordingly. Okay.
It's going to be dark for 4 minutes. Like, who cares?
I guess I didn't really understand. Having said all that.
Yes.
The fact that the eclipse is going to hit Amen Corner this afternoon at like 4:30. I cannot think of a more picturesque place to just bask in total darkness. Like, we thought the lime green jacket November Masters was weird. How weird is that practice round going to feel today?
So I was texting with our man, Adam Stanley, and I was like, I sent him this. I'm like, this, you know, it doesn't get much more religious than this. I'm not a religious man, but a solar eclipse at Amen Corner, that'll turn me into a God-fearing man pretty quick. And he's like, I will be there. I'm going. So our man, Adam Stanley, he said he was boarding his flight to Atlanta. He was
on
his way
ground.
Down, boots on the ground. We'll try to track him down for our react show to the Masters. And our first question will not be about Scottie Scheffler winning another Masters. It'll be about him at Amen Corner during the eclipse with all the bags of milk covering the Masters, all standing and praying to the high holy of Amen Corner. I can't wait. I truly can't wait.
And again, not that these two things are similar at all, but I feel like they attract the same types of people. You were with me at Hamilton when the flyovers came. And let me tell you, all the best golfers in the world, there wasn't a single person watching them. Everyone just going, wow. You ever seen a big old plane before? And guess what? Hand up. I was chief among them. Yeah. Being a bag of milk, looking up at the sky, this time for a plane. So, yeah, I can only imagine how electric factory that will be. So, you want to talk about the Masters?
Yeah, I do. I just one more thing before we go.
Please.
Feel for my man Denny. Feels like he should have won one by now. He's a good player, always on leaderboards. You make 7 straight birdies and then you go in the first playoff hole and you chili dip one into the river. That's got to he did not sleep well last night. For pour one out for my boy Denny, cuz I like him as a player. Love watching him putt. Feel like he's a guy that's going to win one eventually, but he's got to be feeling like he's never going to win one, right?
Yeah, that's got it. You're in as A-plus a position. You're playing as well as you possibly can. You chase down a guy. He, rips his shoulder, or, again, Lord knows what happened there, and then that happens.
Yeah, the also, tape delay?
Well, while we're talking about that, it was so McCartney hits a shot in the water, and then Bhatia is like, you know what? I think I actually will get taped up right now. I won't wait until after the shot. I think I'll get taped up. And I would have had the exact same one. But, yeah, I mean, McCarthy, when you putt that well, you deserve to win. The ball striking has to line up with it eventually. He's given himself so many chances. And yeah, I feel bad for him. He is a guy who, and I don't wish it was this way because I'm happy it's going to be all the world's best in Montreal. But if the President's Cup was the World Hockey Championships, he would be a President's Cupper. Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
He's a B-team guy. He makes putts. He's a gamer. He's gritty. He feels like a guy who would play in the World Hockey Championships of golf.
Honestly.
That doesn't make any sense, but I feel like if anyone will understand it, it's you.
You found your niche target for that joke, and boy, did it hit. That's bang on. He's the Connor Brown of golf.
I was going to say be the captain of the Spengler Cup of golf team. He'd be
absolutely
all over it. So, Masters, from baby. The Spengler Cup to the Masters, the first transition like that ever made in podcast history. Yeah. It's here, bud. Just excitement level. It's kind of, sometimes it sneaks up on us. Sometimes we're waiting for it. Sometimes we're already playing golf. Sometimes we're not. How's your excitement level heading into it this year versus others?
I feel like it's a bit of a weird year, to be honest with you. I feel a lot of golf, in years past, I feel like we've been texting all the time about, look at this leaderboard, look at this leaderboard. There's been all these sort of storylines leading up to the Masters. And I feel like, give credit or lack of credit where it's due, feel like there hasn't been a ton of really great leaderboards and really great tournaments. You look at the players, awesome. Great, where it was close, right down to the wire. Scotty shoots 64 on Sunday to win it. Wyndham Clark has a lip out that, it was one of the worst you've ever seen to tie it for a playoff. The week before that, Scotty wins at the Arnold Palmer. And there's been some good golf moments, but I really feel like we've been lacking in it being amongst the public eye. Golf fans like you and I, we watch every weekend. I always have an eye on the golf. Yep. I'm always flicking over to it on Saturday and Sunday, regardless of what else is on. But, I feel like there hasn't been a ton of, big talk about it. And I think this weekend has a real chance to kind of bring golf back to the forefront in terms of, just with all the live stuff and talking about how the fields haven't been as good, which I don't think is true at all. I think it's just that there's a lot of good players that can win. I'm very excited for golf to kind of be back on the forefront. And I do feel like they really need a big weekend from a big storyline. They need it to be Scheffler, a Rory, a Rahm coming over from live to win it. It needs to be a big boy to kind of get golf back to me. That's how I'm feeling.
Yeah, we can't have a Danny Willett. We all had fun with that and his brother tweeting up a storm, but we can't do that again. You're right. You do need a big boy winner, but I think that whether they realize this or not, golf got what they wanted. They got their one big tournament a month that we, and again, it's not you and I, it's not everybody listening to this pod, but I host a morning show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Guess what? Outside of the players or this week coming, the Masters, it's not getting talked about a ton. I would have loved to have talked about Bhatia this morning. Not happening, okay? So I think that this is what golf wanted. They wanted their one big event every month that everyone gathers around, and that has happened, but this is what you get when this is what you get when you prioritize the one event, is unless you get a great finish like we got yesterday, you just don't kind of grab the eyeballs and the hearts and minds in the way you could. And it can happen. The Arnold Palmer is right before the Players, so it's not the elevated one. And guess what? It was still a pretty special event. So it's not to say it can only be the 12 elevated events in majors, but it does kind of feel like that's the way we're trending. And that's what they wanted. I don't know if they realized that that's the way they were going once they made the elevated events. But when you tell us this is all that matters, guess what? People are going to believe you.
Yeah. Bingo. They really have set it up like this. And I think the majors do have a little bit more juice with the LIV versus PGA thing. I think that's gone downhill a bit this year. Yep. And I think, you know, last year it was a really amazing sort of us versus them thing. And I think LIV's still trying to drum it up a little bit. But I don't think it's as stark as it was in years past.
No.
But now this year, I still think it matters. You know, they'll be talking it up. John Rahm will be pretending that he's, you know, going for LIV or whatever. I saw him talking about how one of us can win and all this stuff. It's like, of course you guys can win. You have guys there on the LIV tour that play excellent at Augusta. Like, half the guys on LIV are great players at Augusta. So, of course somebody can win. But yeah, I do feel that it's time for a big boy to jump up, and I don't think there's a bigger boy than Scotty. It's hard to imagine where there's not a final pairing or a second to final pairing that involves Scotty Scheffler. I don't know. I don't see the world. Like, maybe his neck hurts and he pulls out, but other than that, what's the situation that he's not in the final few pairings on Sunday?
It has to be two other guys going nuclear. Like, I mean, it is golf. Like, you know, a million things can happen. But I'm with you. Scheffler, we've never seen, not since Prime Tiger, a favorite this short. You'd sometimes see McIlroy kind of pop up there with some sucker odds of like, hey, bet me at this ridiculous number. But we're all looking around, and, you know, I have the book I'm looking at. It's got Scheffler at +350 to win it, which is insane.
But I could put together a hockey parlay right now that would pay better than that tonight. Like, you know, it's crazy.
It is nuts. I was looking at it last night. He is, I've got it right here in front of me. He is -210 to finish in the top 10. For
That's
a golf
insane.
Tournament, for a golfer, it is absurd. And I think this is the part that has to be hammered home about it, is unlike, pick your guy, Koepka, DJ at the peak of his powers, Rory, Scheffler is not like a public guy that has people riding for him. So this is just the number the book feels they have to set. This is not some honeypot to try to get somebody in there. That's the thing that I think has to be stated when we talk about Scheffler's odds, is he is not beloved like those other guys. And like, that's its whole conversation in and of itself. I don't think he's hated or loathed.
No, no, no.
I just don't think he moves people quite that way yet. And that is why it's so stark to me that he has those type of odds, because it's just what the book feels. It's not a public play or a PR move or anything like that.
Yeah, and you know, we haven't seen these numbers since like Tiger. Was it?
Yep.
I mean, there was times where, you know, wasn't he even money at times to win?
There were, yeah.
Like and we haven't seen that since then. So I'm very interested to see how he handles being such a big favorite. And, you know, he's played great this year. Clearly, he's got two wins at two elevated events in a row. That's very good golf. But I do think the Masters is different. And even when he had that massive lead the year he won, he almost peed down his leg on 18. What do you have, a double? He had a four putt? Like,
yeah.
The stakes of the Masters are much different than anywhere else, even any of the other majors. I think there's nothing like Augusta. So I'm very interested to see it. But I'm sitting here, Gunner. And of course,
well, hold on. You mentioned the Tiger odds, and I was able to find
yes.
them throughout the years. In 2007, he was -125.
Oh my God. If you made that bet, you are the biggest idiot of all time.
Yeah. He also won it.
I don't care. I don't care that he won. I knew he won, and I still think that's the worst. Like, oh yeah, great. You bet $100 and you won 75. Good for
it's
you.
So it's so funny. The just seeing minus odds, and that's like in the valley of when he was plus 200, plus 150, plus 200, plus 150, plus 350, plus 400, plus 200, minus 125.
That's amazing.
Plus 130, plus 220. And then, you know, we started to get back to sane plus 550. It is the respect, again, rightfully so, that he got throughout the years. Insane. And we're seeing it from Scheffler now.
Yeah. No, so I'm telling you right now, though, Gunner, I'll do my annual, put some money in the account, spread some dollars around everybody like I always do. I don't know how I don't sprinkle heaviest on Scotty.
What I like is
4.5 to 1 for a reason, bud.
What I like is, and you know, this is if there was ever a recipe for something not to hit, it's this. What I like is if you have a guy like Scheffler that you're just so certain about, I like throwing together like little two event parlays, maybe three. If you have other stuff you feel good about, it's like, well, surely Scheffler won't let me down, and then I can be just mad at Rory, or you know I don't bet on Rory, but you know somebody of that, like if you like Will Zalatoris or something, it's like, why don't you throw a Will Zalatoris top 20 in with a Scotty Scheffler top 5, and then you know, kind of tease those odds up a little. That's something I think I'll be doing with Scheffler, because you want to have him in the mix. Like, you don't want to be staring down the barrel of him just waltzing to a victory and you not having anything on it.
That's not what you want. So I'm just looking at his numbers here. To make the cut, it's obviously huge. To miss the cut, it's 13 to 1, Connor.
That's nuts. That is nuts. Nuts. Crazy. Nuts. Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, he's super high for first round leader as well. 11 to 1 there. So that's, if you like want value on Scotty Scheffler, that's the place to do it. Is him just going off out on a sprint, trying to run away with this thing. I actually think if you're looking for value on Scheffler, that's probably the place you do it.
Yep, agreed. Can I bring something up with you?
Yes, please.
I got a feeling about your boy this weekend, bud.
Oh, no. I don't like that coming from you.
I got a premonition. I got a feeling. I don't know. I don't know if he'll win. I just feel like we're going to have him have some moments this weekend. And I thought he played great at the Valero Texas Open. What did he finish? 11? A lot of years.
Yeah, 11 under, solo three.
A lot of years that's good enough to win there, but without two guys going absolutely nuclear. Like, I thought he played really well, and I do feel that there's a part of him that, like, I don't know, we're not approaching, clearly, Tiger 2019 Jack when he's old.
No.
We're not approaching that, but we're not that far off of it.
No.
And, you know, I think there is a chance that, I think a lot of the pressure with the live stuff and all this, where he's just kind of come clean about it, and just, it's kind of this weight off of his shoulders, and he's going to Augusta, and I know he's the second betting favorite, but it's all the talks about Scotty and how Scotty's dominating. And, you know, there's talk about Rom coming back. I just feel like for the one, you know, we're not into Masters Week fully yet. But I do feel like it's not as much pressure on him as usual. And I know that could be wrong. I could be totally off on that. But I just feel like it's a little bit of a funny week for him. And that I could see him, you know, being in the mix. I really have a funny feeling about Rory this week.
Even when I don't think he's going to win, I always think he's going to be in the mix. It's a crazy thing to say about a place he's never won and may never win. It just suits him too well for him not to be in the mix more times than not there. I think the thing that is kind of working against the PGA Tour, like we were talking about at the beginning of the show, with it not being this fervor every week of it being the, you know, not that the tour wants it to be unexciting, but it hasn't felt like the stakes are ratcheted up to 11 all year long. He hasn't been doing pressers every 2 weeks about the state of the game. I think that this is a nuts thing to say, but I know if anyone will agree with me on this, it's you. I feel like the thing that will make me feel how his week is going to go is just the tenor of his presser when he inevitably talks, I'm presuming tomorrow or Wednesday. If it is him getting peppered with 3,000 questions about Liv and he's fighting the good fight again or whatever it is, then I think he's out. I think he's done. But if it's what you say, and I agree with you, it has been this up to this point. If it's a quiet week where he can just, you know, as much as Rory McIlroy can, just kind of go about his business, then I'm wholly buying that. I think the form beforehand means nothing for most people, but for a guy like Rory to show form. I think that it's more, I think basically the better you are, the more likely it is your form is going to continue from week to week. So I'm not sitting here telling you I think he's going to win, but I can almost guarantee you he's going to rip out my heart, and he can only do that if he's close. So I'm right there with you. I think the fact that it's been so quiet is going to be really beneficial to him.
There is not many things that could recover the game of golf like Rory McIlroy winning the Masters. Rory McIlroy winning the Masters is the most important thing to golf. There is no question. And my thoughts about Rory, everyone who's listened to me talk about Rory, everyone who's listened to me talk to this pod about Rory, they know how I feel about the guy. But there is nothing that would matter more to the game than that. And I feel like it's going to happen one year. So why not this year? Honestly.
Total eclipse. Yeah, why not?
I mean, that's the thing. I just saw on Twitter as we're talking here, they're giving out Masters-themed eclipse.
Masters. Oh, my God.
Can you imagine having a pair of those? That's the ultimate collector's item.
I was going to say, can you imagine how rich you'd be no longer having those?
Yeah,
like if you had them and then gave them to somebody else, and by that I mean...
Sold them
for a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like the guy who has 40,000 Masters gnomes is itching right now. He's like, how do I get it? I need it.
I just have a feeling, bud. So that's as far as I'll go. And maybe he shoots, 76 on Thursday and it's over. But I do have a funny feeling that he's going to be big time in the conversation this weekend.
Yeah, that part I'm wholly with. There's no way he won't be a part of this one way or another. You know, how the ball bounces, if you will. I don't know how that's going to go because it almost never does for him. If we're going to talk about, the two big boys, we have to talk about the man who birthed them, at least in this era, Tiger Woods. I know. We both feel the same way about this. We have to talk about him. Go have a moment. If that means you grind to make it to the weekend and then you have to withdraw, fine. If that means you have your, pie in the sky, it's like you have Fred Couples, you're three shots back because you're the third guy out on Saturday morning, great. Just give me some fleeting little Tiger moment. Don't make it be sad. That's all I'm asking for. And the sad part is I feel like that might be too much.
The dream scenario for every Tiger fan is that he becomes Freddie Couples. Remember Freddie Couples for seven years there?
It was just him and Bernhard Langer somehow in the mix every year.
Charlie Hoffman floating up there too sometimes.
Stop. I'm going to give him out his first round leader. Don't cut my grass.
Please, please just let him be like three under on Friday afternoon. And
let me have it.
Three off the pace and we're all dreaming for a second. And then on Saturday, goes away and lets the big boys kind of take over, and that's our viewing pleasure. There is just no chance it's ever going to happen again, and I think we all have come to the understanding of that. I was trying to find his odds on here. I had to scroll down a little bit. He's 150-1, so if you're into that kind of thing, let it rip. Same odds as our boy Canadian Nick Taylor, which I find incredibly offensive, that Tiger Woods and Nick Taylor have the same odds. We all love him. We all want to see him succeed, but it's just getting so close to over. He's not even wearing Nike anymore. Just very, very weird now, Gunnar. And I, quite honestly, I wish he was at the point of his career where he was teeing it up Thursday really early with all the old guys. That's the point I'm at.
Him borrowing Sandy Lyle's suspenders for a round. It would be nice to see.
Buddy, but guess what? First birdie, Tiger rolls in. Every group chat I'm in, Tiger! Fire emojis.
You know it. I'll be sending my favorite Tiger gift, the one where he licks his finger before giving the thumbs up.
That's
I really, really like that one. Yeah, just please give us that. Last one on Tiger. What do you think has to happen? And it's like, I know we have this conversation every year. We will continue to have it until it does happen. What do you think has to happen before he just, and I don't even mean walk away from the game for good, but how many years away? And I know the answer is at least 20, but from him being out there Thursday morning, maybe he's by himself. I don't know if he's with Phil anymore. I don't know how this is going to work,
Ooh,
but do you think he'll ever allow himself to be ceremonial golfer, Tiger Woods, who goes out there and it's like, you see how it goes with Jack now. They don't even show the shot. They just show a close-up of his face and you hear the ping and it's like, we won't talk about where that went. Jack hit the shot. Good on you, Jack. It's like, I know Gary Player's still high-kicking because he's a mutant.
But he's the man.
Like, do you think he'll ever just let himself become that?
I do, but I think it's a light ways away, bud. I think your beautiful son Gordo will be, you know, 25 by the time that happens.
I'll be like, who is this old man, Dad? Yeah.
Well, son, sit down. Yeah. Let me tell you about this guy.
Let me show you the 2019 Masters. Yeah. Let's watch all 7 hours of it. Yeah, you're right.
The further we get away from that, you just always have to be so thankful for that.
Oh my God. That's forever.
Forever. There are a few things that I'm as thankful for as a sports fan as 2019, so you just always have to be happy and have that. So, yeah, Tiger, enjoy yourself this weekend, buddy. Go be a great I saw that he gave up banging for the week, so he's really locked in. He's not having sex. I don't know if that was a true quote or not, but
who cares?
I absolutely loved it. I bought in. I don't care if it's AI. All in.
Yeah, but I mean, we've all made the joke, but we know that he has to go like the other way on that, right? Like he should be having sex like 100 times a day leading into the tournament if he wants to get back to peak.
Absolutely.
Powers. Like I get Absolutely. It. It's like you're old. You want to keep yourself strong. I get it. But we all know. Like we don't need to rehash it. We all know the recipe.
Yes.
Perkins cooked it up. We all know the recipe.
I believe we have it on the menu too.
yeah. Actually. So yeah, you're right. Good on you, Tiger. And I mean, I just hope it was worth it for you, whatever that means at Augusta. I hope giving that up was worth it for you. All right. Just a couple other big boys I did want to check in on. I did a little look at the big boys and what they were doing heading into this. So
okay,
we talked
nice.
About Rory, T19 at the Players, third at Valero. We like that. Scotty Scheffler, he just wins all the time.
First, second, first.
Yeah, the bum, T2 at Texas last time we saw him out. What will we do? Brooks Koepka, he's a big boy still. Hasn't won on LIV in over a year.
He was plus seven this week, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was basically a calendar year ago that he had his last win on LIV. So do with that what you will. I don't know what to make of any LIV results. Like I know people hear that and they go, ha ha, Gunning's just... I don't know what to make of
no,
it.
Neither do
it's
I.
either in, it's incredibly impressive if you're there and it's like Jon Rahm and Brooks Koepka and Cameron Smith. And sometimes it's, you know, Dean Burmester who won yesterday. Good on you, I guess. Rahm, he is winless on LIV, so, but again, do with that what you will. Last time he played in a real golf tournament was T5 at the DP Championships in November, so that's like the Euro Tour World Championships. That's a real event. T5 there. It was in November. Again, do with that what you will. Hovland went nuclear to end the season last year, but he has just won top 20 since that closing stretch in Europe. That came at, I believe, the genesis for Hovland. Mm-hmm. So he was a guy I think a lot of people were circling. He's kind of cooled off. And Cantley, haven't seen much of him lately, but T4 at the genesis, which was not that long ago. I'm sure there are some other people you would consider big boys, but those were the ones I was looking at heading into this.
You mentioned two of my sort of longer shots there.
Okay.
I think Cantlay is very undervalued at the book I'm looking at.
Agreed.
28-1. Like, I mean, how Ludvig Åberg and Xander Schauffele have shorter odds than Patrick Cantlay to me is unbelievable.
Like, I mean, at least with Ludvig, it's like there's a chance.
Like
we
young and
know.
Dumb, like doesn't yeah. not gonna be able to overthink this. Just
We've
like something
seen
happens.
This movie with Schauffele before.
Yeah, but Schauffele at 14-1. Anyone listening to this, I will take your action on that. Like, I will be your bookie. I don't see a world where he ever gets it done. I really don't. But I think Hovland is an enticing one at 30-1 as I'm looking here. But to me, the results have just been too erratic.
Yeah.
I feel like he hasn't played enough. I don't, like, he could obviously win it and he could obviously get hot and that could look like an incredibly smart bet. But to me, I don't love what I've seen from him to start this season at all. Don't feel like he's played enough, Gunner. Some of these guys, I just don't really feel like they've played enough. And the LIV guys, Gunner, I'm not going to try to give you any analysis. I have no clue. Like, Brooks Koepka could come dead last or win the damn thing, and I would not be surprised either way.
Yep.
So same with Rahm. Maybe we're not dead last. I'd be surprised if he came dead last. Cam Smith the same way to me. He plays awesome at Augusta, but I don't know. I really don't. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the LIV guys go. Like, let's not forget that Phil Mickelson was second last year.
Yeah.
So
no, I'm happy you brought that up. Like, that has to be mentioned. It's like, one, ancient Phil Mickelson, and two, having come off of Live Phil Mickelson.
Yes.
So yeah, you can't overstate that. I mean, yeah, you mentioned Smith there. Of all the Live guys, he is the most intriguing to me because he felt like the guy who most has, like, I mean, we all love you for this, McKee. He feels like he has dumb golf brain of like, oh, I don't think about it at all. I just go out there, nip some wedges, make some putts.
Yeah.
But he also reeked to me of the guy that kind of needs the competitive fire to care about things, to actually like feel like it matters. So he is the guy I'm most curious about of the kind of Live bunch there. There's some other guys with long or not short, but you know, they're in this respected class. I could just tell you, I'll take their odds. Justin Thomas, I'll take that action as well. I know you want it, but I'll take it. 35-1, Justin Thomas. The tournament 2 weeks ago, he made the longest putt he made on the Sunday was just under 4 feet
awful
long.
Awful form right now.
Yeah, so you cannot do that. Guy I do like, though, is Zalatoris. He is always somebody who struggles putting, except at Augusta. The best theory I've heard on this is that the putting stroke is so wonky that you barely have to touch it there, so it doesn't have time to get wonky. Like, it's not a long backstroke. That sounds kind of crazy, but it also makes a lot of sense to me. I do kind of like Zalatoris. You can either do that outright, or if you want like a top 10, I think he's very likely to kind of be in the mix there. Very much out of the picture as well, because he took all the last year off for the back injury.
No, but he's been floating around at the Masters. So I just wanted to mention before we go here that the Canadians who...
For sure.
We're heading in here, and I'm just quickly scrolling down here. Corey Connors is coming in at 66-1, which to me, I think he clearly... The reason that he has the best odds is because I think on paper, he's probably the best player in terms of his ball striking, in terms of what he can do. Mm-hmm. But I just never, ever would trust his putter at Augusta, unfortunately. And I love him and I root for him, but I just wouldn't trust it. To me, Nick Taylor at plus, you know, at 150-1. If you're a Canadian and you don't bet, you know, you put $10 on that, you win $1,500. Like, if you're a Canadian, you got to put some cash on that. We've seen him play really great in big tournaments and hold off superstars and play well. Like, we saw him beat Scottie Scheffler he beat Charlie Hoffman, but Scottie Scheffler was floating around there too.
Yep.
He beat Phil at Pebble Beach.
2 years ago, yeah.
He's got a flair for the dramatic, and when his putter gets hot, he's as, you know, dangerous as anybody. I'm stunned that his odds are that long. Go ahead.
I was stunned too. I had to look it up as to why. It's just he's played it once, T29, and it's like, I know generally speaking it's first time we talk about this, but I think that's what's kind of going against him, is that for a guy who, again, like, has the track record he has as an AM as well, it's kind of shocking how little majors he has played in the kind of grand scheme of things. But yeah, just the one Masters appearance, I think that's why. But like, that was in 2020. He's a completely different man. He won a major, not technically, but technically, in the between times. He fought off Fleetwood in a playoff. Like, I'm with you. Even if not outright win, it's like, get him in like kind of top 20, top 10 action. Just have a little skin in the game with Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I like that as well. I am I'm dying to bang the like.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, where they're all going to be standing around Weirzy on Amen Corner. Also, just while we're looking at odds, I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but I didn't need Mike. Like, we could have put Mike Weir with Vijay Singh having second to last odds, not with Jose Marie Olazabal having the dead last odds. Just like the disrespect to our beloved President's Cup captain, Mike Weir.
Shock the world, Weirzy. One time,
please.
Buddy. Shock the
world. Get that waggle going. Make a couple clutch 7-footers, and then you'll be dropping the puck again. Oh, man. Yeah,
that'd be great. That's actually hilarious. Yeah, I don't recommend that. Don't bet on that.
I would say don't do that as well. Last couple things for me. We kind of touched on most of them. So we did best winner for the game. Your dream Masters finish. I'll give you a second to think on this, McKee, while I kind of paint the scene for you.
Non-Tiger edition?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Like, obviously, it's like the dream is like, yeah. Okay, so here it is. It's a final pairing of Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler. Like, it's not reinvent the wheel here.
Okay, I like this.
It's, it's just a back and forth. It's not like a dogfight where it's Reed and Rory at the Ryder Cup all those years ago, where it's just birdie fest. But they're both just like par, mixing a bird here or there. It's like they start off tied. McIlroy takes the lead, and Scheffler gets it back to even, and maybe Scheffler gets the lead, and then we go to 16. And I mean, you know, I want it to be Rory, but for the sake of the game, I don't care who. And somebody just is able to find the ridge, and it's an ace that effectively locks up a green jacket, be it for Rory, be it for Scotty. I don't really care. I just want it to be one of those two guys. I mean, I do really care, but I can understand for the sake of the game how good it'd be if it was Scotty, and have it be basically the ace taking the Tiger Woods chip shot line, and just have it be have it drop. And then that's the winner. And, you know, they got to, like, play two more holes of golf. But that just broke whoever didn't make the ace's spirit. That's my dream Masters finish there.
That is a dream scenario.
That's pretty good.
I mean, we've been close on Sunday with, like, and there's...
Well, they put it there for a reason. And the one year they didn't, oh, God, I'm so mad.
But that was the stupid, the lime green. Yeah, it was lime green jacket year. But a couple years ago, two guys made an ace on the Sunday.
Yeah, they weren't overly close. Like, I want to say Oosthuizen, but maybe it's just because I feel like
Oosthuizen did.
Yeah, okay, of course he did. But yeah, you're right. I do remember there being a couple of aces, and it's like, yeah, they put the pin there for a reason. Like, one day, a guy in that group is going to make it. It's like, didn't Koepka scare it the year Tiger won?
He did.
Yeah, right before.
And then Tiger did it. And almost did, too. So,
yeah, so
my dream final pairing is Nick Taylor beating Rory McIlroy in the final pairing.
Just to make me enjoy a Rory loss.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and buddy, just let me get this all the way on the record, okay? I don't care if it's, I don't care if, forget any of the golfers. I don't care if, like, Hadwin's wife, Mallory Hadwin, somehow wins this tournament. It's like, I am riding for the Canadian over Rory 1,000 times over, okay? Let me just, in the 1,000,000,000% chance that this happens, 1,000,000,001% chance this happens, I would like to be firmly on the record that I will be riding for whoever has my passport in that instance.
Good on you. Good on you, Gunner. I'm proud of you.
Hey, buddy, it's always it's the best week of the year. My phone is going to be smoking with texts from you and everybody else all week long. I cannot wait to put a hurtin' in on the couch, and I cannot wait to talk about this with you next week, bud. What do you got?
Just quick before we go,
on the women's side. Thank you. Yes.
Nelly Korda has won 4 straight golf tournaments.
This is absurd. This is absurd. Nelly Korda is so good. You know what? Actually, take everything we said about Scottie Scheffler at the very beginning of the show and the respect and rightfully earned.
Yes.
Copy paste Nelly Korda. I'm very happy you caught me. I wanted to get that in as well. One in a row is one win's nice. Two in a row is good. Three is special. Four is, let's be honest, it's just flat out stupid. So good on you, Nelly Korda. And doing it match play too. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that makes it a little not easier because you got to play more golf, but it gets you out of just the tournament grind, but it adds another element to it that the last one was a match play. So yeah, happy you got that in because I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, and I haven't, like, you know, it's not the time of year yet where I dive fully into the LPGA. It's not the summer yet, but I just, there are a few things I enjoy more in all of sports than watching Nelly Korda swing a golf club. It's just, it's poetry in motion. It's beautiful. It's whatever adjective you want to say. It's one of the sweetest things, and I just love anytime all the guys get together and watch her, they're just like, oh my God, I'd kill for that. And you know what, Gunner? I would kill for that. It's a gorgeous golf swing, and 4 straight golf tournaments, the stud of the LPGA Tour is dominating. So good for you, Nelly. Maybe leave one for Brooke one of these times.
Yeah,
maybe
you got to
get back in the winner's circle.
I don't know. I don't think she'll ever forgive Brooke after Henderson grinding it out on putts. I forgot what the tournament was, but Korda was getting froze pretty good there.
Looking like
what?
Me on Don Valley on a Saturday with the hands on the hip.
Guess what, though? It worked. Flags fly forever. Good on you, Henderson. And I do get to, pulling back the curtain, I do get to watch a lot of LPGA because they're putting reruns on while I'm doing the morning show with Ben. So while I'm just giving 10 out of 10 opinions, Thursdays and Fridays locked in on LPGA for your boy. So
buddy,
I get to see a bit.
The morning show, you are, those Thursday, Friday Masters golf naps. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's going to be.
Oh, my God, buddy. Those are the two best naps of the year. I look forward to the Saturday one. I don't get the weekday ones, but that morning show schedule, could it be more perfect for golf? Like, rip it through. Rip home to your palatial mansion in Burlington, and you get on the couch, and you watch the Masters, and you doze. Sounds like heaven.
Yeah, we have very different definitions of mansions, that's for sure. I know that much. McKee, God love you, bud. And again, not that anyone listening to this pod needs this as a reminder. Mm. Go follow our man, Adam Stanley, on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. Boots on the ground, including for the eclipse that will have already happened by the time you all hear this. But if you want content on that, go find Stanley. He's the best. Well, second best. Love you the most, bud.
You're the best, Gunner. We'll talk all weekend and then on Monday about the Masters.